Hello, hello, and thanks for tuning in with Goddess Hatia. Here to just talk about domestic violence. I am a survivor of domestic violence. For those who haven't heard the podcast, I think I did a podcast on my experience of my ex-husband trying to take my life because I no longer want to be with him. I no longer want to be in the marriage with him because he refused to get help for his anger issues. Now, he did not fight and beat me up throughout the marriage. He did not call me names or anything like that. But he had unpredictable mood swings, which means he may go to sleep at night fine, wake up with attitude, and then just give me the silent treatment. Things like that. So anyway, I started becoming afraid of him, and I left. Now, I left several times, but I always went back. And see, that's the one thing you can do with a man like that. When you decide to leave a man because you think he's going to harm you or anything like that, you have to stay going. You can't keep coming back because you teach them that you're going to always come back. And when you do try to leave for good, it may cost you your life. And I had left my husband a year prior to that because he did choke me. I came home from celebrating my birthday with my cousin. I came home at a decent time. And I guess he was upset because I went out with her. I don't know. But anyway, I said something to him and he got up and jumped up and choked me. My mom was at my house at the time. And I'm thankful because he probably could have killed me that night. But anyway, we separated. He moved out. And a year later, we decided we was going to reconcile. But he never did go get help. And once he moved back, and I already immediately knew it was a big mistake because I still had that fear of him hurting me or trying to harm me. So I decided to leave and go stay with my cousin. And one morning, I came back to, because he would get the kids for the weekend. And I was there with my cousin at this time. So I came back that Monday morning so I could take the kids to school because I had to be to work at 10. I had to be to work at 8. So I got to the house like 7 that morning. And he didn't see my ring on my finger and it caused him to snap. I had actually left all my jewelry at my cousin's house because I was rushing. And he thought that I was leaving him for another man. That wasn't the case. So he proceeded. You know, he went to go give me a kiss and he just snapped. And he snatched the sleeve of my shirt from the seam. That's how hard he snatched my shirt. I ran into the hallway. He came in the hallway, dragged me back into the apartment, into the kitchen. My two arms, I was on the floor. He straddled me, he reached over and got one knife and was like, that knife is not going to do. Then he picked up another knee and proceeded to try to stab at me. I have some defensive wound, but thank God that my 3-year-old was standing in the doorway and I was able to say, look what you're doing in front of your son, which made him stop. Then I ran in the hallway, I ran upstairs to try to get help. Nobody was answering the door. I ran down the stairs, 13 flights of stairs. He heard me and then he came into the stairway and tried to kick me down the stairs. I ran for my life, but I was also scared because now my 3 children were in that apartment. Well, I have 3 children, 2 boys and a girl. My daughter was 10, my son was 8, and my son was 3. And my oldest son got locked. I don't know how he ended up in the hall. I guess he came behind. And when I came back in, I didn't know that he had came in the hall. And I found out this later, but one of the neighbors had got him. And I had just taught my 10-year-old how to dial 911. So she was in the room calling 911 that I later found out. And my neighbor also had dialed 911. And I got to the hospital, which was right up the street. I ran to the hospital. They thought I was a little girl because I'm so small. Like, I'm only 5'4", like 125, 26 pounds. Always been that weight. But they tried to take me to the kids' side. I was like, no, I'm an adult. I'm an adult. So they took me to the other side. And I was explaining to my husband trying to kill me. And my kids is in the house. And I don't know what he was going to do to them.
so I was just so worried. I didn't even want them to take care of me. I just was worried about my kids. But when they got me on the examining table, you know, taking off my clothes, looking for stab wounds, they had told me that the police was already at the house and that they were taking my children to my cousin's house. And he was arrested that day. He didn't make bail, and he served 11 to 22 years for that crime that he committed against me. It was a hard road out the woods, you know, trying to get past that and raising three children by myself. But I did what I needed to do for me and my kids. I ended up in, you know, I had to go put myself in domestic violence shelter because they would have took my kids from me because they didn't know if we were still safe. But he didn't make bail, so I wound up going into the domestic shelter, violence shelter for a few months. And when I did go back to the apartment and put in for a transfer because I was in rented housing, and I was able to get my transfer, and then I moved into from Manhattan to Brooklyn. And more trouble following because then my son wound up with anger issues and cut school. He was very young. He was cutting school in third grade. And then we wound up moving to Philly. You know, we moved to Philly, and that's when he got a lot of help. He's 27 today. And all my children the children I have by him are all doing well. My daughter purchased her house. You know, she has a car and two jobs. You know, she has 2 degrees. My oldest son, he's an entrepreneur. He's a photographer. He does videos and takes pictures, and he has a studio that he shares with one of his friends. And then my 27-year-old, he has his own apartment. And he's working, you know, a good job, making good money. So despite what they've been through, they are doing great. And I'm just so damn grateful. And they don't have a good relationship with their dad. My youngest son is still very angry at him. They talk to him, but it's not like he's trying to be a better... Even though they're grown, children still need their parents, even when they're grown. They still need advice. They still need their parents. They don't go to him for nothing because he really doesn't show an interest in building a relationship with them. You know, he texts them happy birthday instead of calling them. You know, he's not there for them like they want him to. And it's like they're at the point where we just have to accept him for who he is. They forgive him for what he did. I know my youngest son wants answers like, why did you try to take my mom's life? But you know, we make decisions. You know, that's why it's good for children to have both parents, healthy parents, because I didn't have a father. And I think the one reason why I was attracted to my first husband because he financially took care of me, even when we were teenagers. If I needed, you know, he gave me my bus pass money because he would get money from his parents or his godfather. You know, he paid for a lot of stuff. So I think that was one of the reasons why I went with him, you know. But I didn't even realize I was going to start crying talking about this. I guess you can heal, but just to think about it, this is a man I married and had 3 kids, and he tried to take care of my life. Tried to take my life instead of going to seek help. But I'm good now. God is my dear.
Love and light, peace and blessings. Thanks for tuning in with Goddess Hadia. I'm reading an article on PCADV.org, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Each year in October, advocates, survivors, and supporters recognize October as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It provides an opportunity to remember victims of domestic violence, raise awareness of what domestic violence is, and how to recognize it, and what we can all do to collectively prevent it. This fall, PCADV and the National Network to End Domestic Violence are leading nationwide campaign for DVAM and a give for DV to start a national conversation about domestic violence and how we can all contribute to changing the narrative around this overshadowed but fundamental issue. It's very stuffy in my room right now. I think I have to open up the windows. Sorry about that. It's air. Dry air in here. Sorry. So let's go on. Continue. Everyone knows someone. Most prevalent than most realize. 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men will experience domestic violence in their lifetime. Anyone, regardless of gender, race, sexual identity, or orientation, or social economic status, can become a victim of domestic violence. This year's campaign theme, Everyone Knows Someone, strives to highlight how common domestic violence is and that it is more than physical violence. And so they talk about some ways to get involved. You can sign up to be an advocate. You can make a donation to DVAM's official day of giving, Wednesday, October 19th. Set up a monthly donation. Share your stories. Participate in the DVAM Week of Action, October 17th to the 23rd. Join the conversation. Share our DVAM education awareness content on social media or a month long. Don't forget to use Everyone Knows Someone. Make sure you're following PCADV at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And this is coming from PCADV.org. Thanks for tuning in.